I want to read a short passage of scripture in Luke's gospel, maybe well known to many of us, but in Luke 15, in my Bible it's page 1248. We'll read from Luke 15, and we'll read from verse 21. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his bondman, Bring out the best robe, and clothe him in it, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and make merry. For this my son was dead, and has come to life, was lost and has been found. And they began to make merry. I expect many here have heard this story that Jesus told when he was here. There was a young man living at home, and he got dissatisfied. And he asked his father for his inheritance, what would fall to him. And having got it, his father very generously gave it to him. He took it and went away and went off to a far country. He wanted to do what he wanted to do. He didn't care what his father thought. He didn't realize that his father loved him. And he went off to the far country, and it says that he spent all that he had, and he began to be in want. He went a long way away from his father's love, from the place where he was provided for by his father. He'd gone away from it. And that, dear friends, is a bit like us, as away from God. God loves us, and he wants the very best for us. And he's willing to provide it, but will you receive it? Perhaps you think, I like to run my life my way. I want to do what I want to do. I'll maybe think about God in due course when I'm nearer the end of my life. Is that what you think, dear friends? Each of you knows the answer to that. Have you got room for God's things in your life? Do you care what God says? Dear friends, you need to be right with God. You need to sort out anything that needs sorting out now, because you don't know when that end of life will come. You don't know when you'll have to give an account to God. You need to settle now what's going to happen for eternity. This younger son, he went away into a far country, and eventually his money ran out. And he realized that all the friends that he'd had didn't love him. They didn't care for him. They wouldn't provide for him. And he began to be in want. He was so hungry that he would like to eat the stuff that they were giving to pigs. He was that desperate. And yet no one gave in to it. And he says he realized that in his father's house, everyone there was provided for. They had great blessings. They enjoyed the father's love. They enjoyed the place that he provided. And they had all the resources of the father's house. And he said, I'll go to my father and I'll admit that I was wrong. Oh, how difficult it is for us to admit that we're wrong, that we made mistakes. And the question tonight is, have you admitted to God that you're a sinner? You've done your own thing. I've done my own thing. I had to come to it that I was not right with God. Because if you're in your sins, God can never bless you. And when it comes to that great day to give an account of what you've done with your life, of what your relationship is with God, you'll have nothing there. Money won't buy you forgiveness for sins. All your great deeds won't buy you forgiveness of sins. Maybe many good works, but not one of them will buy you forgiveness for your sins. There is only one way that you can have your sins forgiven, and you need to be clothed in that best robe. And God has the answer for you. He has the remedy for your sinful state. And tonight he is presenting Jesus as a savior to you, not the preacher, not anyone else, but the man in the glory, Jesus himself, the one who went to the cross, the one who was crucified. For not, what had he done? Nothing. He was holy and sinless and blameless. And yet the Jews said, away with him. And the Roman governor, he said, crucify him. They were not right with God, and they'll have to answer for it. And if your attitude to Jesus is, I don't need him, or away with him, I will not have him to reign over my life, dear friends, you'll have to answer for it too. But God doesn't want anyone to be judged and punished. He wants you to be blessed. And that's why he's provided the remedy for your sins. You haven't got to do anything. You haven't got to provide anything. All you've got to do is to come to God. This younger son, he realized that he'd done wrong, and he could, if he went back to his father, he would say that he had sinned. Acknowledged that he was unfit to be blessed as a son. And what did he do? He went, and while he was a long way off, his father saw him and ran and covered him in kisses. God is just waiting for you to turn and come to him, to acknowledge that you're a sinner and accept the remedy which God is providing. He's provided a remedy in Jesus. As I say, what did Jesus do? He allowed himself to be taken by those wicked hands and crucified. Nailed there on a cross, how the Romans treated, dealt with people like robbers or murderers or so. They did that with Jesus. They crucified him there between two robbers. That's what the world thought of him. But Jesus remained there, not because he couldn't come down. He could have called on 12 legions of angels. The Old Testament tells us that in one night, one angel killed 186,000 people. Jesus could call on 12 legions of angels, 144,000. Think of the destruction that they could do. Think of the power that they wield. But Jesus didn't call on that. He could have indeed just spoken a word and they would have fallen way backwards. But Jesus didn't protest. He allowed men to take him and to crucify him. And you know why that was? It was because no other way could be provided to remedy your sins. Someone who is holy and perfect in every way, sinless, was the only one that could make atonement for your sins. And so Jesus, in his love for you and me, remained there upon the cross. And it tells us about the hours of darkness that came over the land while Jesus was on the cross, from the sixth to the ninth hour, and no one could see what transpired there. But I can tell you that Jesus bore my sins in his body there on the tree. The Bible tells us, and the Bible is God's word, and you do well to listen to God's word, because he wants the very best for you. There are all sorts of other voices in the world who say that they've got the remedy, or this is another way to get to heaven, another way to get right with God. But the Bible tells us, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And so Jesus remained on the cross that he might make atonement for your sins and my sins, that tonight I can tell you there is a righteous basis for God to forgive you your sins. You can point to Jesus on there on the cross and the blood that he shed there when the soldier pierced his side, and you can say, that's made my peace with God. Because God was perfectly satisfied with Jesus' sacrifice. How do I know that? Well, we're told that Jesus was laid down his life, but then he was put in a tomb, And then on the third day, they went there to anoint the body, and they found Jesus was no longer there. He was raised, says, by the glory of the Father, showing that God was perfectly satisfied with all that Jesus had done. He had dealt with that whole sin question so that God could be favourable towards you and me. God can righteously forgive you and me our sins because of what Jesus has done. Will you accept it? That's the question. You can sit here and listen to the speaker and just think, well, perhaps I'll think about it next week. But we can't afford to put it off. We need to be right with God today. Today is the well-accepted time, the Bible says. And while he was yet a long way off, says the Father ran and covered him in kisses. God wants to bless you. He longs to bless you. And the fact that the glad tidings have been preached for nearly 2,000, or just over 2,000 years, is testament to God's long-suffering and patience. He wants to bless men, women, and boys and girls. Doesn't matter about your background. Doesn't matter about your past. Doesn't matter who you are. God is favourable towards you if you will come to accept Jesus as Saviour. God is holy and righteous, and he cannot have sin in his presence. And therefore, if you're to be right with God, if you're to have that best place in God's house, then you need to come to Jesus and get right with God. And the only way is to put your faith and trust in Jesus and in his finished work. Says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. And if you're worried that some things from your past might be too bad to be dealt with, or that God might not overlook them, God has said, their sins and iniquities I will never remember anymore. When the Jews were in Egypt, they were told that the avenging angel would come over, and unless the blood of a slain lamb was put on the doorpost and the lintel, then the firstborn would die. So they took the lamb and put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel. And when the angel saw the blood, he passed over. But in any houses that you didn't have that protection, death came in. And for you and me, means that if we can point to the blood of Jesus, say that's made my peace with God, then God will never bring your sins up against you again. So the son said, I'm not worthy to be thy son. I've sinned against heaven, against God, and before thee, no longer worthy to be called thy son. But what did the father say? He said, bring out the best robe, the very best. And that's what God wants for you, the very best. He wants to bless you. He wants you to be free of your sins. And he wants you to know that the best place has been prepared for you. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place. He says, don't be troubled, just trust me. And that's what my message is to you tonight, is to simply trust Jesus. He has done the work, and there's nothing for you to add to it. It's just the need to believe and trust him. The best robe, and clothe him in it. Think of what God has done. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him may not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave his beloved Son. Some of us have family, boys and girls. Just think, if we had to give them up, But God gave up his son, Jesus. And why did he give him up? Because he wanted to bless you and me. The son, he had a ring on his hand. I think that speaks a bit of the love of God. There's no limit to it. You can follow it round and you'll never come to an end of it. God's love. And it's towards you tonight. And he wants to bless you. Sandals on his feet. How are you going to get on in this world? The world where nothing is stable. Nothing can be relied upon. New governments promise stability. They promise, well, everyone will be better off. Dear friends, if you trust in the promises of this world, you'll be disappointed. But the thing is, if you trust in Jesus, you will never be disappointed. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes on me, though he have died, shall live. And everyone who lives and believes on me shall never die. Jesus has the answer for your sinful condition. He can give you peace with God because he has done the work. And tonight, all that remains is for you and me to simply turn to Jesus and put our trust in him. You might say, well, I can't believe. I just can't do it. Well, there was a man in the Bible, came to Jesus, and he'd asked for Jesus to cure his son, who was dreadfully ill. And Jesus dealt with it. But he said, do you believe? And the man says, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. He cast himself upon Jesus. He struggled with understanding things. And the great thing is about the gospel, we don't need to understand all the details. We just simply need to know that Jesus has done the work and that we need to trust him. And there's a place being prepared. The Bible tells us that Jesus was about to go away. He was about to suffer on the cross. And he was preparing his disciples for what was to come. They were to be really sad because they trusted and been with Jesus for 3.5 years and he's going to be taken from them. But Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it. You believe on God, believe also on me. In my Father's house there are many abodes, were it not so, I had told you. For I go to prepare your place, and if I go, I shall pray and prepare your place. I am coming again and shall receive yourself. See, receive you to myself, that where I am, ye also may be. So God has given the best that he could give. He sent his beloved son. No one else could deal with your sins. No one else could bear that judgment. But he bore it and exhausted God's wrath. And as a result, God can rightfully say, without in keeping with his holiness, he can say your sins are forgiven because Jesus has borne that punishment, that judgment that was due to you or me. And God wants you to have the very best. And he's promised, as Jesus says here, that there is a place prepared for those who love and trust him. May everyone here be looking for that moment when Jesus will come to take those that belong to him to be with him. You might say, well, it's so difficult to believe, but God's word tells us this. And God will give the gift of faith to you if you ask. Just open your heart to Jesus, acknowledge your need, and receive Jesus as Saviour. This robe, the best robe that the Father gave to this younger son, it's not like the the fashions of this world. Get a new suit, and then you find after a while it doesn't fit, or it gets torn, or gets worn out. Have a favourite piece of clothing and it wears out. But this best robe will never wear out. It'll never go out of fashion. It'll never not fit you, because it's a gift of God. The best robe, to be clothed in the worth of Jesus, means that you're able to enter into God's presence for time and for eternity. Eternity, who can take it in? We think in terms of years and months. But there's coming a time when God will give the word and Jesus will come to take all those that belong to him, those whose names are written in the book of life, to be forever with him. May it be the part of everyone here for his name's sake.